How quickly things change. How quickly people change their minds about certain things in life. And it's true of the events leading up to when Jesus came into Jerusalem. People were very excited to see him. So they knew what to shout because they were looking for a coming king. And so they would shout the words that we shouted today, and we'll do it again now. Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Of course, Hosanna means save us now. That's what they were looking for. Salvation. Salvation from Roman occupation. That's what they wanted. They wanted to get rid of their oppressors. But of course, Jesus didn't come to do that. He came to do something quite different. And so they went from, eventually, of course, from waving palms, or palms, we wave our palms, from waving palms to shaking their fists. And very soon they were shouting something very different. We know that, first of all, that as the story unfolds, Jesus, of course, went to and had his very last supper together with his friends. This Thursday, we'll be thinking about that on Maundy Thursday. And at that Last Supper and just beyond, Jesus predicted something about Peter. Before that, he predicted something about Judas. Judas would betray him. But he said about Peter too, you will fall away. And the rest of the disciples too. Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I'll never disown you. All the others said the same. We know how the story panned out. But what would we have done? And then came Gethsemane. And Jesus goes into that beautiful garden. And it is a beautiful garden. Olive trees. And very calming when you're there. But it was in the heart of that place, in the Garden of Gethsemane, that Jesus had a really tough battle. I think the battle was with Satan, who was trying to get him to change his mind. But he said, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. Jesus knew what to say. Gethsemane means olive press. And actually, olives are pressed. They really are pressed with a big stone, and it goes around and around and crushes the oil out. Unlike wine, you have to tread wine grapes, or else it becomes bitter. But olive oil releases all its oils when the stones are pressed too. Jesus was crushed. He was crushed for you and for me. And of course, while they were there, he said, pray for me. Pray for me. And three times he had to come back and they were asleep. I go to sleep when things are tough. They went to sleep too. I think they probably didn't understand. And then, of course, Jesus was arrested. And so we're beginning to get to that point where the tide has turned. People are beginning to think about Jesus in a different way. They were stirred up, of course, by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they wanted to think badly of Jesus. He was upsetting their system. Things were going well until he came along. And there will have been many messiahs who will have, or claimed to be messiahs, in the past. But of course, Jesus was different. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. He was God himself in the flesh. And they found it very hard to equate that this man, born of earthly parents, albeit supernaturally, actually was God himself. So eventually, of course, there had to be a trial. And Jesus comes before Pilate, because the Jews knew that the one way to sort this out was to take it to the Romans. Because they knew that Pilate, on behalf of Roman occupation, would have to act. He'd have to do something, because these were dangerous times. So very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus up and they led him away. And they turned him over to Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate. Yes, it's as you say, Jesus replied. And the chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer? See how many things they're accusing you of. But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now, it was the custom at the time of the feast to release a prisoner, someone that the people might request. And there was a man called Barabbas who was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. So the crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews, said Pilate. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. Well, what shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews, Pilate asked them. And this is when things changed. So the fist came out. We shake our fists. Crucify him, they shouted. Crucify him. And that feels hard for us to do because we're Christians and we love our Lord Jesus. But those were a people that loved God. They just hadn't quite caught the message about who Jesus was. And so, like everybody else, they made mistakes. So they all shouted, crucify him. Crucify him. So wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. And he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Handed over to Pilate, handed over to the Romans to be crucified. And so the story goes on. This is the week of the Passion of our Lord. And we begin today in jubilation and joy, but it ends in a different place, but in a place which is positive. Hard to think about that at the moment, but actually it ends in a very positive place. And for that reason, I'm just going to read the final part of what happened to Jesus on the cross, because I think it's really important that we catch a bit of the whole flavour. It's normal on Palm Sunday also to read the whole story of the Passion. So I've given you some sort of edited highlights. But this is the final part of the story where Jesus is actually crucified. You might want to just hold your palm crosses as a reminder of this. This is the bit. Okay. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon. And they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. And there they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge that was against him. This is the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. In John's Gospel it says, Jesus said, it is finished, before he gave up his spirit. Because it was an end. It was an end to Satan's rule in people's lives and in this world. It is finished. But some extraordinary things happen. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. It's a bit like a curtain being here and preventing us to go to receive bread and wine together. But at that point, it enabled us to enter freely into the presence of God. Jesus' death opened this opportunity, a time of rejoicing and hope for all people in every generation who come to an understanding and a friendship with Jesus. They can enter into the most holy place with God because God has entered the most holy place within us. The Holy Spirit dwells here, not in temples, not even in buildings, but in here. The curtain of the temple was torn and the earth shook and the rocks split. Wow, what an extraordinary place that must have been to been around. The tombs broke open and many bodies, the bodies of many holy people who had died, were raised to life. An extraordinary time. And they came out of the tombs. And after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. And when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely, surely he was the Son of God." My friends, when we begin to understand what's happened in Passion Week to Jesus for us, it changes things forever. He changed things forever on that first day, on that day when he was crucified and later raised, which we look forward to celebrating next week. That's why this cross is empty, of course. Sorry? Yeah. And when that happens, when we embrace Jesus for ourselves, a whole new thing begins to open up within us as we receive the life of Jesus into our lives. And we allow him to take his rightful place, because that's where he belongs, in the hearts and minds of every single human being who will receive him. And then we have a new start. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing stuff. Oh, to see the dawn. Fantastic. That wonderful song just breaks open that story for us in a beautiful way. So hang on to this for this week and beyond. Hang on to this palm cross and allow yourselves to come into the presence of Jesus and know the peace that he can bring and the hope